This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The hitting is extra hard this week on Primetime.
Oh, he gets walloped!
This is a wild card week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Wild card week with Isaac and Sue on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Oh, and he took a hard hit. Hello.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up?
We've been walloped, according to the Open.
I didn't hear it. What did it?
Oh, it was all about heart. We're extra hard hitting. And they were saying that we were walloped. We were Van Ginkled.
I don't think we are extra hard hitting.
Well, that's disappointing. So we're not going to get Van Ginkled.
I mean, we might be.
Man.
But I doubt it.
No. Well, way to throw that copywriter under the bus then. Yeah.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't me.
Someone. I don't know why it's extra hard hitting, but I'm telling you, according to the Open,
because it's wild card week, baby.
We're extra hard hitting today.
Wait. What's the lead this week? The college football playoff or NFL playoffs?
Well, the NFL playoffs is going to do a bigger number.
Well, of course, but I mean,
that's what's getting sponsored
on our
here,
show.
So,
oh really?
Well,
so obviously it's the NFL playoff.
I would think so.
Boy, that college football playoff is kind of I don't know.
Oh, it did monster
after yesterday.
It did monster numbers.
Yeah,
too.
The Rose Bowl numbers in a blowout were absurd.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying, like after yesterday, it kind of refocuses back on the NFL, and now I'm all NFL.
But we have five of the greatest days in a row, though, because Thursday it's like semifinal, Friday semifinal.
Well, all you need to know of what is really taking the lead, one hid from the other, and I promise you it wasn't wild card, or is it, are we calling it super wild card weekend still?
Oh, I don't know. That was a thing when we added the extra wild card team. Yeah.
It was extra hard hitting. It was super. Is that just wild card weekend?
Wait, what do you mean one hid from the other? What does that mean?
Well, the college football playoff is on simply the days that it's on to avoid wild card
Thursday
weekend.
Yeah, they're not playing on Saturday, their day, because the NFL, by the way, is two games.
Much like the NBA, everyone cowers from the NFL, including the first year of the college football playoff. That's how enormous the NFL is. They're like, oh my God, finally we have a playoff. And the NFL is like, I give you the Buccaneers and we're going to kick your ass with it. And everyone's like, it's a valid playoffs point.
Well, I'm not really happy about college football playoffs being during our show.
I know.
Thursday and Friday.
Well, actually, it's
however,
not during Thursday.
However.
Yeah. However.
I have news. For Notre Dame Penn State on Thursday, we will not be here.
No show Thursday.
Yes. We get to watch it at home.
Well, we have Ducks basketball leading in to no show Thursday.
Yeah. So the Ducks are playing Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Ohio State?
I do remember Ohio State.
So a chance to avenge the 41.
I think it was 41-21.
No, they didn't get 21.
They didn't get 21?
41-21. That's right.
21?
That's right.
21.
Yeah.
So it was close.
Kept it within three scores.
Yeah, it was close. 41-21.
They won the second half.
I have heard that narrative, and it's adorable.
It's not a narrative. It's just
some people. Oh. Joel Klatt was talking about that.
Danny.
Well, Joel Klatt loves him some Oregon Ducks. Yeah, I think him and Dan Lanning, I think they make spoons. Like, he loves him, and he did the, not many teams in college football could make that respectable. I'm like, come on, Joel. Like, the Ducks are a great team. I think the Ducks may be the second best team in the country, but please don't try to spin that as that was some sort of competitive game.
That's just silly.
Stop.
Look, that's over.
Stop.
That's over. Stop. You know what gets avenged?
What?
That. On Thursday. That. Right here on The Fan, when Ducks basketball takes
ass
to Columbus to kick Ohio State right in the teeth yet again on their home floor.
This is like when...
in their home
gym.
City.
Yeah, whatever.
Because they beat them in football there.
Yeah. Rose Bowl.
I mean, they own Ohio State, just not in the college football playoff.
Yeah, not in that thing.
Because they beat them in football, too, this year.
Twice.
What?
Well, they beat them.
Well, they didn't beat them twice this year.
Well, no, but they beat them in Autzen, and then they beat them in
Their
in
last
Columbia.
Four games, they're 500 against
them. Hey, listen, Ohio State, we own you.
That's right.
We.
Just
why
not
I?
The,
we. I'm not.
Yeah, Oregon's beat them twice in the regular season. Ohio State's beat them once in the playoff and once in the national championship
the
last four times.
Yeah,
you got a ways to go.
But
Ohio
still
State.
Just 2-2.
This is like when you lose the Super Bowl and then they try to they play in week one and they're like, revenge game. Yeah,
yep.
I'm sure beating them in week one really goes a long way to
that'll show them.
That'll show
who
them.
Knew that the Ducks' 41-21 loss would rest on the vengeance of the Ducks' 20-point loss to Ohio State in the playoff would rest on the shoulders of the great Jackson Shellstaff. And yet it does.
It's like a Red Dawn sort of thing. Avenge me! Avenge me! That's all you can really ask for when you're murdered is the avenge my death. And here we go. Let's go,
let's go
Ducks basketball.
We have a Thursday. We have a no-show Thursday.
Yeah.
But we'll be here Friday. And then during Ohio State, Texas, we're going to be on the air.
Yes.
So you're not going to get S from us.
No. Well, you'll get what we always get is us watching the game.
Basically instant analysis from us.
Instant
analysis.
Yeah.
Our hot takes as they happen in real time.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, I'm geeked. The semifinals are great. You kidding me? You mean Notre Dame, Penn State, and then Ohio State and Texas? And I know that's, it's a
is
bummer.
Is that who's playing?
That is who's playing. It's a bummer that we don't have Oregon in it, but for the first year of the playoff, I mean, you got blue bloods. And it's kind of fun that the SEC, for all of their flag waving, they still don't admit that Texas is part of the SEC and they're the only one left standing. Yeah, flags! The only thing that could have made it better has had Arizona State just eliminated the SEC altogether, and then we really could have laughed. The SEC is in an existential crisis right now. They feel like the grip is starting to just loosen up just a bit.
Is it weird that I'm more excited for Ohio State, Texas than I am Notre Dame, Penn State?
No. Why is that?
Well, because I think a lot of people think Ohio State's just going to roll through this tournament, but Notre Dame Penn State on paper is the closer matchup. But
sure.
I'm more interested. That I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, kind of a boring one to me. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah.
Although we said that about Ohio State Oregon, and it wasn't.
No, it was not.
So I don't know.
Well, here's my thing. Ohio State went fully operational Death Star mode. No one's touching them. But look, how many games have they played now? What, 12 regular season games? So 14 games. They've looked like that maybe three times. So, I mean, they're peaking at the right moment. But let's also not discount the fact that Ryan Day can lay an egg at any given time. And Texas does not look very good right now and has had their running game shut down now by Arizona State and Georgia. And Ohio State's just a better version of both of those. I think this is going to be Ohio State in a rout. But every time you think something... Watch Texas show up and play a great game.
That's right.
They're not physically going to be overwhelmed.
Conventional wisdom is almost never right. Sometimes it's right, but conventional wisdom was Oregon, Ohio State would be the game of the year. No. Well, the first one was.
Well, the first one was, so we just assumed that, especially with Ohio State, losing to Michigan and then they get it right against Tennessee. It's like, which way does it go? Well, we found out which way it went.
It could possibly be a try to blow it off between Ryan Day and Steve Sarkisian. I could totally see that.
Yeah.
Where neither team wants to win, kind of like the first half of Lions-Vikings last night.
Yeah.
Where although neither team really wanted to win.
That was, I'm going to jump around, but that
You're jumping around.
Oh well, you're gonna
House of Pain.
Yeah, you're gonna get me
jump
into
jump around.
The...
jump around.
Excuse me, Oregon turned that into an advantage. They're the only ones to ever do it. Oh wait, everyone does.
They embraced the jump around.
No one else has ever done that.
I was watching the game yesterday against Maryland.
Yeah.
Because you know, real sport basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rock chalk.
They do that at Matthew Knight too. Did you know that?
What?
House of Pain.
Oh, I did not know that.
So, they do the jump around at Matthew Knight?
Right.
Nothing? Did they do Shout?
Was it Shout?
Well, I mean.
Wait, House of Pain's Wisconsin.
That's Wisconsin's yes. thing.
What were you talking about?
Yeah.
Wisconsin?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Oregon.
No.
When Oregon played Shout. Wisconsin for the.
Are you okay? Are you having a stroke?
I don't think so.
When Oregon, when Oregon played Wisconsin and it was close going into the fourth quarter and they did jump around.
Oh, that's Wisconsin's thing.
The Oregon players jumped around and somehow the media turned it into the genius of Dan Lanning.
Oh, not the media. Ducks versus them made it look like the big thing.
They're like, we embraced the moment. And you're like, dude, literally every team that goes into Wisconsin does the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, can we just turn down the genius, like, half a notch?
I was watching the Ducks yesterday. I guess they do Shout then?
Probably. Or if the Ducks were playing Wisconsin, they might have done
the
jump around. Okay, they recently played Wisconsin.
I don't think they did.
The Ducks?
Not in basketball.
The women did.
Oh, look at you following women's hoops.
That's right.
I love that about you.
Man of increase.
They did play Illinois, and that did not go well.
No, but they avenged.
They got smoked by them.
They beat Maryland. They beat the Turtles.
Being a man of increase?
They beat the Turtles.
Take that. They were not men of increase against the Fighting Illini. That was
okay. I got you. Ugly. Well, anyway, I think they do Shout at Matthew Knight Arena, which, by the way, what a terrible home court that is.
Unfortunately.
I hadn't watched a game there in a while,
and
I flipped on yesterday. God.
Well, it's unfortunate boring. Because the Pit was a dump of all dumps,
but it was great.
It was their dump.
It had character.
Yeah,
but it also had rats. So
what? It was a good home court. It was fun. This is lame.
Yellow tinged lights.
You got to find a way to, and that's why the new stadiums or the new arenas that meld the two are the ones that are really. Matthew Knight Arena is a world class arena. Have you ever seen like an event there?
No, I've never been there.
It's great. It's beautiful.
I'm sure it is.
Parking kind of sucks.
But it's very sterile.
But it's very sterile. And unfortunately, they can't fill it up. So, you know.
Why? They're a good team.
Yeah.
Good program.
It just doesn't. Well, they filled the Pit. And it just the Pit was unique. If you ever had a chance to watch a game there, that was one of those unique environments. But it's the same thing. Like, did you ever get to go to the Boston Garden?
One time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the garden of the old United Center or any of these places are...
I liked the Boston Garden.
Yeah, but cool. At the same time, it's not... You can't keep a crumbling building and be like, well, it's going to be fine. In today's world, that doesn't work. And so it's tough because most of the new stuff that gets built like that, it's not the same. New Yankee Stadium is an old Yankee Stadium. It's why, like, the only really cathedrals left, we have what? We've got Fenway and Wrigley that were both redone, but still kept the original structure. I don't even know if there's another one like that. How long has Allen Fieldhouse been around?
Oh, I don't know when it was built, but it's old.
Yeah. But they've refurbished. Yeah, they've refurbished.
And they've built it up around it.
Yeah. And I don't know this for a fact, but my high school girlfriend played basketball at Oregon. So I went there many a time to watch her games. I don't know how you, I just don't think that building was one that you could expand upon. I think the option was you play in the rat's nest or you just tear the damn thing down. And everything in Oregon is brand spanking new. And it's the one thing, like Hayward Field, amazing. The baseball facility, amazing. Autzen Stadium, all the additions, great. The one that didn't work out was Matthew Knight. Just never really hit.
1955.
Yeah.
The great Allen Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. And they've recently upgraded it.
And it was big enough to where you could expand upon it. I don't think you could ever do that with Matt Court.
Well, they didn't expand, like, the inside. It's 17,000.
Yeah. No, but locker room space and around it,
they've made it all nice and new. Yeah. And they put in a museum, and the original James Naismith rules of basketball are there. It's really cool.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, Matt Court was, like... It was a shoebox. That thing was just...
It held like 9,000 or something, didn't it?
I think it was less than that.
It was cool, but it was not a... It's not... In the locker room space and everything...
9,087.
It was bad.
Look how smart you are.
Like all the little
Went to many games there.
Well, and like the concourse and the ramps and like the locker rooms, it was rough. It was a rough.
Yeah, but
there's a lot of obstructed views too.
Yeah, it was fun.
They're just like big pillars.
Yeah,
coming
if you
down.
Were up, if you were up, there was a couple times when we'd get tickets and you'd go down there. Yeah, you had to do the old look around. You're like, well, let me just kind of lean over here. But I just wish they would have. And I get hindsight being 2020, but you wish they could have taken the. I wish they could have built something on kind of the platform of that to try to modernize it, but keep some of the stuff that made Matt great. And they didn't. They just built a really, really nice modern arena that now seems half empty most of the time, very sterile.
It's too big.
And just kind of...
It's still out there.
What?
The pit. It's still there.
What are they doing?
For a while, they were doing other sports there. Like they're doing... They're using it, I think, for rec sports and maybe as practice facility for volleyball and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, there's something about basketball.
Did they
like,
get rid of the rats?
The old school, like Hoosiers,
yeah.
Sweaty gym, rundown. Like, there's something about that in basketball that's great.
Yeah, and you don't really think that about football.
No, you don't.
Football, you want big, shiny, new.
Yeah.
Like, Old Husky Stadium was one of the best places that I've ever played, like, for a noise standpoint. That place was an effing dump. I mean, it was an absolute pile of crap. Old Martin Stadium, Washington State, freaking disaster.
Let's not act like Autzen is like the nicest place.
No, but they've improved upon it, and nothing is actually in Autzen. Everything, all the locker rooms and everything are attached to it.
Yeah, but Autzen is not.
No.
I mean.
No, but it's a special place.
And neither is Moda.
They get that place rocking. But to be fair, if you filled Matthew Knight, what's Matthew Knight, 17? Something like that?
Yeah, I was going to say like... 14 to 16, but yeah.
And look, that's half the... I mean, one of the reasons Allen Fieldhouse or any of those other places in college basketball are great is because they fill it.
12,364 humans.
That's it?
That's it.
At Matthew Knight?
That's it.
Boy, that's shocking.
That
I know
is
it, can,
it.
I know it can fit more
smaller
than that
for
concerts.
Thought. Yeah, maybe that's just sports capacity, like basketball
kinda,
capacity.
Do they curtain off the top because no one goes?
They have been. I mean, they did like this last weekend when they played Illinois.
Yeah. Because, look, let's be honest. If you pack that thing with 12 or 15,000 people, it'd be better. But half the time when you're watching games, you look up and you're like, yeah, there's seven people there. And that just goes to a larger issue of does West Coast outside of Gonzaga care about basketball?
Do you think that Dana Altman should just start wearing sunglasses all the time? Do you think that would help?
Yeah, dang, what do you think?
Why would Dana Altman wear sunglasses?
Well, because he's not a great basketball coach.
Yeah.
But he's not really the most Dan Lanning-esque in terms of getting people, getting people excited.
He does not.
He's not so cool.
He was all miffed at the end of last season about it. You remember that?
Yeah.
No one came.
The attendance?
Well, I would be pissed if I were him too, but at the same time, he's the head coach. Yeah. He should, but it's not his personality. I get it. But
he's a Midwest girl dad.
He could be a little bit more, I don't know. He could just project a little more cool, like, hey, this is something you want to be a part of, and maybe just throw on some sunglasses.
Like when Eberflus grew the beard and like cut his hair, and I know he got fired, so maybe that's a bad example, but look at Matt Eberflus, like when they did the Hard Knocks, and then look at Eberflus the year before. Oh my God. Whoever got a hold of that guy, someone was like, hey man, your ass is going to get fired. You need to get some like personality. So maybe we get the brush. Maybe we get him a new slicked back, like do a Pat Riley thing, throw on some shades. You know, I like where we're going with this. Spruce midlife crisis, Dana Altman. The team's good.
Maybe start dressing like it's the 70s.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
Do some Jack Ramsey plaids. Let's go.
Big collars over the jacket.
And you could get Nike to outfit him in like retro threads. Hell yeah. Let's go. Hire us.
And marketing then go people. Play games at the pit instead of Matthew Knight Arena.
And like, you know, here's the, like for a fan, you for every rat that you kill, you get a dollar off your ticket. You know, you just show up like with, you know, a big rat stick.
One of those Charlie nail bats.
Yeah, you get the rat stick. You kill 10 rats. You know what? Dollar off for every rat. You get 10 of them. You're in for free. You know what? You get your ticket. Come on in.
Then all the players could grow out their hair and put on really short shorts. Pretend it like you could do a whole 70s vibe.
The short shorts are back, man.
Yeah. So put that together. Go play at the pit. Throw some sunglasses and a big old some bell bottoms on Dana Altman. And now you got a bit.
I like where we're going with it.
People will love it.
Let's do it.
Better than what they have going on now.
Yeah. And they're really good. When they lost to Illinois, they were what, ninth in the country?
Yeah, they're always good. Yeah, it's just that no one seems to care down there.
No, they're 13-2, and collectively,
but hey,
everyone's like, man.
They're going to care on Thursday when they go to Ohio State and avenge that football loss.
You're damn right.
Yeah, dang, what do you think?
All right.
I want to see how many people were at that Illinois game.
I'm going to guess 7,000.
And it's always tough because you know they lie.
Yeah, the paid attendance versus actual gate.
Yeah, so here's the thing. They're telling us that it's 7,000. It was 7,010. So can we say 6,100?
Oh, well, I don't know, but...
Well, I mean, look, that's number 9 versus number 21 in your barn.
Yeah.
And you're getting 60... Let's just split the difference and say 6,500 people.
Can you blame them, though? They gave up 104 points and lost by 30.
Well, but you didn't know that going in.
Well, maybe they kind of did.
They had lost one game.
Well, but
and
maybe
they maybe shouldn't have lost it because it was a banked-in three at the buzzer.
Exactly. Their only loss was a banked-in UCLA three.
You got to prove it. You got to prove it.
They lost one game.
Well, they got beat by
13 and 1 had proven it. It's enough to get some butts in seats.
It should be enough to get more than 6,500 people.
I don't know about that. Not down there. They don't give a rip.
Apparently not. They care about football.
I don't think they do anymore.
No, I think they do.
I think that loss, everybody's like, ah.
They're out.
We're track and field school.
Whatever.
We don't care.
We're about to find out how much. Like, Phil's getting older. I'm telling you, that check's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Old Phil.
Well, you know, he's like, what, 80? He's like 80.
Yeah. 87?
See, yeah, that check getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Let's go.
All right. Well, we're going to start with NFL. That was the weekend.
It's the NFL.
And that's the subject of our poll question. Next on The Fan. Hey, you know what else we have tonight?
Who got?
Because there's so much sports.
There is no NFL, though.
We've got FCS championships tonight.
Yeah, we got about 30 minutes. I think it's 4 o'clock on ESPN. And we've got the North Dakota State Bison taking on the Montana State Wildcats.
Bobcats. My Bobcats.
There's a cat.
Now, normally from the state of Montana, you think of the Grizzlies.
No, Montana State is right there. I mean, they've built a great program.
Apparently, they're the number one team in the country. They have the number one offense and the number one defense in this game.
And then North Dakota, I know they've fallen off a little bit, but like...
All they do is win titles.
Yeah, all they do. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I'm going to look it up. I think they've won like 7.
I know Montana State's favored, but it's supposed to be close. 3.5, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you with the point spread. Nice. You guys want to bet on it?
Well, and...
I have not bet this one.
Well, the damn thing is...
Who would you bet on?
I'd probably bet on
North Dakota State.
I don't know anything.
That's the pedigree. That's like Georgia being a 3.5 point.
You're just
underdog.
Betting on the blue blood, the Patriots.
I'm betting
so
on the pedigree.
Yeah. Well, and look, the title always runs to the damn Dakotas because South Dakota.
That's right.
Who, by the way, their coach is now
Wazoo's head coach.
Wazoo's head coach.
Mm-hmm. South Dakota State.
South Dakota State.
Yeah, because there is a South Dakota.
Yeah, which no one cares about. Much like North Dakota, the fight and Sioux. Yeah, they're like, whatever. So the last 2 years, South Dakota State has won, the runner up being Montana. And North Dakota State. And then...
So it's the same schools every year.
It's the same school. And so then North Dakota State won in 2021, 2019, 2018, 2017, 2015, 2014, 2013, 2012, and 2011.
Oh, my God. Who was their coach?
Craig Bohl was the one that started that.
Yeah.
And then...
He's retired now, or is he at Wyoming?
He moved on to Wyoming, and... I don't know if he's still there. And then Chris Kleiman took over for him.
Kleiman, that's
didn't
right.
miss a beat. And Kleiman's at Kansas State.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, Bohl retired.
Yeah, Bohl retired.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Wyoming. I know he left to.
Yeah,
to
he
go
went to Wyoming.
Wyoming.
And then he's 2023, he announced his retirement.
And then I don't know who.
Gosh.
Is it. I don't know who their head coach is now.
Who, North Dakota State, you mean?
Yeah, because the coach that won there, he left to take a job at USC. I think that's, is it Entz, Mike Entz?
That sounds right.
And I believe that he left to take the linebacker job at USC.
Tim Polasek is their coach.
Tim Polasek.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Matt, not Mike. Yeah, he left.
We're all over this.
He left the preeminent program in FCS and was like, yeah, I'm going to go coach linebackers at USC. So that's a weird.
And Brent Vegan. Vegan?
Sure.
Let's go with Vegan. I like that.
Vegan. He's the coach at Montana State. Hmm. I want to say he used to coach at North Dakota State.
Well, and Ants.
How's that for a twist, you little bitch?
Ants just got hired at Fresno State.
I mean, come on with all the states.
All the states. So, yeah, it's a weird, that FCS thing, it's weird. But you want to talk about a program that, I mean, that's pretty amazing to go from, to have three head coaches win multiple national championships over the span of a 15, I mean, that's kind of insane. And, you know, there was some talk of would North Dakota State want to move up, and I don't know, do you? Or are you just happy doing what you're doing?
Fan text line pointing out that we have a local rooting interest tonight. NDSU Bison punter is from Sherwood.
Mm.
That would be Caden Steindorf.
Go Bison punting.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of root for Montana State.
Yeah, the I guess the upstart.
Well, I got a buddy that lives in Bozeman.
Okay.
And he's like, man, they're a huge deal there. Like, yeah. It's a big thing.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about Montana State. I do. I had some friends of mine that played at Montana, and Montana's won national titles there. And I do know that that is, like, they love their football up in Montana. Love it. Well, and to be fair, if you live in Montana or the Dakotas, what else do you got?
Right.
You know, support it. Yeah, Montana won in 2001. And I believe my old quarterback from BYU that came in with me, I think he quarterbacked him to that national championship.
All right, well, that's enough of that. Anyway, that game's tonight. And we're going to be watching it.
Yeah.
I'm going to live broadcast, live commentate.
You're going to watch the freaking NBA?
No.
No.
No, again, not until
no.
after the All-Star break. Yeah. And even then, maybe May, or no, not May, April. March. Mid-March.
Well, my Canucks
are after March Madness.
My Canucks are playing the Canadians, if you'd rather watch that, you know.
All right, here's the poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. And today we're asking you, where is the upset this week? Rams over Vikings.
Bing, 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 bing.
Penn State over Notre Dame. Texas over Ohio State. Or Commanders over Bucks.
I say I don't think that's much of an upset, by the way.
What?
What's the Commanders-Bucks spread?
3.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I wouldn't consider that much of an upset.
They already played once, and the Bucks beat them by 17.
Yeah, but that was like week 1.
It was, yeah.
And that's a completely different animal than what you have now.
I believe the Rams and Vikings have already played, and the Rams won by 10.
Exactly. The Vikings lost to 2 teams all year. One, the Lions, twice.
Yeah.
And the other was the Rams.
You know what's interesting? They lost the Rams game in L.A.
Yeah.
Right after losing to the Lions.
Oh, well.
Which could be the exact same scenario.
Yes. And I said it.
I yell that?
We were talking about, I don't know.
I'm excited about it.
But we were talking about this, that the Rams are not a good team. They're 10-7. But we said.
You don't think they're good?
Well.
They're a good team.
They're very inconsistent and they've been injury riddled. But we said this when you were, one of your poll questions was, where is the dark horse?
Yeah.
Right?
And you liked the Rams.
And I liked the Rams because of the dark horses, like the Steelers, whatever, they're kind of flailing. The Steelers have a ceiling, and it's a pretty low ceiling. The Rams' best is as good as anyone in the NFCs.
Well, and you trust McVay, and yes. You trust Stafford.
Yes. Yeah. So if I am the Vikings, I am absolutely, especially the way that Detroit did your offense, I am absolutely sweating bullets if I am the Vikings having to go into the Rams, who are basically coming off a rested week, didn't play anyone. You're going into L.A. They've already beat you once. That, to me, is a absolutely terrifying game for the Vikings.
Well, I can't imagine anybody has much faith in Sam Darnold after last night.
It's the first time all year that he truly looked like Sam Darnold, and it's not.
Well, he's had flashes of looking like Sam
Darnold. Oh, he's had flashes, but that was a full-on Sam Darnold
game. That was the real Sam Darnold.
Yep.
So do you want to talk about that? Should we talk about that?
I want to talk about the Motor City Kitties.
I'm a scorned better.
Are you?
Yeah. That was the most because I had money on Minnesota last
totally
night.
Understand why.
I really liked catching points in that spot because of what's going on with the Lions defense.
Yeah.
And like that was a hard one to lose because I feel like I was kind of right, you know?
Yeah.
But obviously.
Darnold going to Darnold.
Yeah. It's like one of those where you start watching it and you just have instant regret of like, oh my God, why did I bet on this guy?
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful. But you got to credit Detroit,
and
it was just kind of one of those weird one-off games.
I am in love with everything that Dan Campbell and Glenn and Ben Johnson and everyone that has put together there. And it's the best story in football to come along in years. And I don't know, Can it keep going? You would think eventually the dam's going to burst with that defense, but that's a top five offense they did that to last night.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's a pretty easy solution to that, and it's...
Don't have Sam Darnold as your quarterback?
Yeah. Like, you're not going to do that again. Like, you do that against Patrick Mahomes, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the only way they could do that is they said, okay, let's see if Sam Darnold really is Sam Darnold.
And he was. They are who they thought we are.
And he was. And he was.
And we let him off the hook.
So we'll get to that next. Where's the upset this week? Rams over Vikings, Penn State over Notre Dame, Texas over Ohio State, Commanders over Bucks. Vote and vote hard on X at 1080 The Fan. Here's Buck.
They are who we thought they were.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get to the wildcard weekend and the playoff matchups. We're going to call it our NFL playoff penguin waddle.
Let's do it.
Coming up in a bit here.
Yeah.
But wrapping up the reggie season with one meaningful game, well, that's not true. There were some other meaningful games. Denver got into the playoffs by beating the Chiefs.
Yeah, and then the Tampa-Atlanta one.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like both of those squads were going to do the I don't want to be in the playoff game. And so,
yeah, that was kind of fun to watch. They were doing the screen, kind of showing the scores of what was going on with the other team. And
I was watching it up at the A&A, so it was great. So, you know, just doing some live betting and side by side, it was bananas. And both of those games ended up being great games down to the wire.
Yeah, I've always found in week 18, you know, everybody's like, oh, this team's going to smoke that team because they have to win and the other team doesn't care. Well, that it always kind of seems to work the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Not always.
With the exception of the Broncos, you know.
Well, yeah, like I said, not always.
Yeah.
But it's always like, I feel like there's a pucker factor on the team that has to win.
Yeah.
And the team with nothing to lose just lets her rip.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes for a fun.
Well,
week 18 kind of sucks.
Yes.
But, you know, every once in a while there's some gold in there.
Yeah, it was. It
that was pretty good. Denver smoked the.
Someone here, Chiefs. like a dumbass. The Broncos were catching 11. Yeah. The Chiefs were catching 11.
Yeah.
And then when they went down 7-0, they were catching 18 at the book, and some dumbass was like, give me that. Wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong.
I see why you did that, though.
I was just like, last year Kansas City was in the same spot, and, their backups play hard, and they had a vet quarterback. You're giving me 18? I was like, I'll take that.
Yeah, why not? Man. Well, plus you're at the bookie, at the bet. You got to watch something. You got to lose money somehow.
38-0.
Anyway.
My buddy hit a 5-team over parlay, $1,100.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Vikings Lions was good.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't really good. Actually, it was.
It was good.
It was classic NFL. It was entertaining, but not good.
Well, because here's the thing. That game ended up being 31-9. Up until close. The fourth quarter, that is not indicative of how close that game was.
Well, of course, if you didn't watch it and you just saw the final score, you have no idea what occurred.
No.
It was a rock fight.
Yes.
And it's wild because the Vikings defense played great.
Yes.
And yet they would just continually get into the red zone inside the 10, could not do anything. No. The Lions, Aaron Glenn is great. Yes. He just flat out said, look, we don't have any guys left. So the guys we do have left, we're just going to torpedo at the quarterback, mm-hmm. and let's see what happens. And, of course, the quarterback ended up being Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And for as well as he has played this year, the Lions totally exposed him into being Sam Darnold.
18 for 41.
He couldn't do anything.
For $166.
And he missed wide-open guys right and left.
It was a masterclass on the part of Aaron Glenn. And Anzalone coming back with the broken forearm still and the big scar and the cast, and he's playing with his hair on fire. And Van Ginkle's out there. He Reggie Bushed him. I thought he killed Gibbs. Oh my God, that was the hit. You don't see many of these anymore because in the NFL, if you hit someone hard, it's a flag. He absolutely bent Jahmyr Gibbs in half, and I thought he killed him. I mean, there was some hitting going on. I don't mind a rock fight when you have two really, really well-coached teams going at it, and golf had two horrible interceptions, and Minnesota forced him into those, but I love the fact, who was it, one of the DBs for the Lions had a great line. I forget who it was, but they had a great one after the game where he got a game ball. I think it was Robertson, the slot corner. They moved over and basically just said, "Hey, go play arguably the best receiver in football, and we're just going to go one on one with him." And he played a hell of a game. And he said, you can't bury what effing comes from the dirt. And he goes, everyone wrote us off. We don't have anyone left. We're not supposed to be here. And I love everything that the Lions have going on. And Dan Campbell is not perfect. And at times you look at him, you're like, dude, what the hell are you doing? But that guy, when he took that job, when he drafted Penei Sewell, said that we are going to build a culture of toughness. And that son of a gun has built the toughest, most resilient team I've seen in years. And that next man up mentality, they're finding guys off the street. They're finding just guys that are plug and play. And it's like, you may not be great, but you will play hard. And there's no team that plays harder. And I freaking love what the Lions have done.
Yeah, they basically the Vikings are good, and they just made him quit. The dam burst, and then, it was only a matter of time for the Lions' offense did something.
Yeah.
And they uncorked a couple of drives and got it in the end zone. Vikings couldn't, and thanks for coming. It's one of those games, it was really frustrating, because if you're a Vikings fan, or if, say, you bet on the Vikings, dude, that game, those teams are pretty close.
Yes.
But the Lions just absolutely, they just mauled them. Mm-hmm. And it was really kind of embarrassing, I thought, for Minnesota. And McCarthy's over there. He's got kind of a good pouty face.
Yeah.
McCarthy.
Well, and am I the only one? So they were showing J.J. McCarthy. And
well, it's not. Oh, you mean the quarterback? Oh, what did I say? McCarthy?
Yeah, you said McCarthy.
Did you mean O'Connell?
I meant O'Connell.
Oh, O'Connell.
Sorry. Sorry. No, the pouty face of Kevin O'Connell is pretty good, because we haven't seen that much. I mean, they win all the time.
I thought you were talking about the end of the game.
No,
I
didn't see that.
They showed J.J. McCarthy.
I was so disgusted, I turned it off.
I did not. I was loving it. I was loving my Lions. By the way, I realized I have not purchased a piece of NFL gear in 20 years. I cannot. In my entire adult life, I have never bought an NFL anything.
There's really no good NFL gear.
No.
Like, their gear doesn't look very good.
Well, and I don't, I just, it's...
Except for those hats they're wearing this year on the sideline.
Yeah, with the
I think those are pretty cool.
The little braid thing on the bottom of them.
I think those are pretty cool. That's the first time I've ever seen an NFL hat I liked.
I am going to have to break my streak and just break down and buy a piece of Lions gear. But they
You're
were
kind of a front runner, though.
I have been on the Lions for years. Thank you very much.
I don't think you have.
Dan Campbell bite kneecaps? I don't want to hear it. Been on the Lions.
You're a bit of a front runner.
Zip
it's funny how all of a sudden everybody's a Lions fan. Get out of here. Dude, they've sucked for 50 years.
Oh, I haven't been on the Dan Campbell train the entire time?
No, you...
I haven't?
I don't think you have.
Really?
No.
You're going to sit here and tell me that I have not been on the bite kneecaps from the get-go.
I think your Dan Campbell love has elevated as the Lions have elevated, and I think that's kind of weak.
I'm disappointed in you calling out my lack of faith in Dan Campbell.
You got to be there from day one, man.
I have.
I don't think you have.
Ever since he was... The opening press conference, he's biting kneecaps. My guy, I love this guy. Let's go. Let's go, Dan Campbell. Anywho, at the end of the game, they were talking about the future of both teams, and they showed J.J. McCarthy. You don't know what I'm speaking of. Buck, did you see this?
I didn't see it.
With his flowing mane?
Yeah, so they show J.J. McCarthy, and they're talking about it, and I'm like, well, that's not J.J. I thought they were...
Oh, wait, I did see that. That was J.J. McCarthy?
Exactly. I thought they were showing like an intern. And that I was like, dude, that's not... And they showed him again, and I was like, dude, does someone think that's J.J. McCarthy? And it wasn't until the third time they showed him, and then I had to Google image, like, recent J.J. McCarthy, and I was like, that's J.J. McCarthy? I really thought the broadcast was going to have mud on their face, that they were just showing some random dude. He looked like Steve from Stranger Things.
Well, he grew his
great
hair
pull.
Out.
Yeah.
He looks
12.
He's kind of got like a Aaron Rodgers look to him a little bit.
But
he's skinny.
Threw me for a loop.
Yeah, he looks nothing.
He's got the like Randall Pink Floyd from Dazed and Confused thing going on.
He's just living, man. I was not prepared.
That's a good thing. I don't know.
Oh.
Well, I did. You're right. I did see that.
Yeah.
And
but you didn't think it was J.J. McCarthy.
You just got to keep
living. No,
man.
I didn't.
Me neither.
L-I-V-I-N.
And I didn't. I don't.
I thought someone in the broadcast truck was going to get their ass chewed for showing some rando on the sidelines and being like, J.J. McCarthy graphic.
Well, anyway,
I need ass.
Anyway, that was... I don't know how you feel good about the Vikings anymore after that, even though it was just one game.
Yeah.
And you probably shouldn't... You never overreact to one game. Dude, that was so bad. Why wouldn't every team just do that to Darnold?
Well, because there are variance plays there. And like you saw it, Jefferson didn't bring one in the end zone. There was another one in the corner that like it was very close. Like
I thought he overthrew them all.
He did.
Jefferson, I mean.
There was one that Jefferson should have brought in. And
the
there
one
was about
in the right corner or the left
corner? No, the right corner one, he overthrew him. And there was one in the back of the end zone that Jefferson, I think, normally comes down with. Yeah. He kind of bobbled it, and then he caught it, but he was out of bounds.
I mean, I half wanted to do the Penn State James Franklin. Just freaking drop back three steps and throw it up to Jefferson. Seriously, you can't hit anything.
No.
Just throw it up and let him go make a play.
The problem is that, so no one expected the Lions. I mean, they ran more man coverage than they had all game. Or all year. I mean, that and with that skeleton crew, you just didn't think that that was going to be it. And so I think going forward, that isn't going to be a success thing for the Lions. They will build in protections against that. I just think that was one of those Waterloo surprise type moments, and the Vikings couldn't come up with an answer to it. The way they were squeezing the pocket, the way they were picking the guard and bringing the other linebacker around, it was a masterclass, but I'm not when they if they play again and if the Lions because Dan Campbell after the game told O'Connell, I'll see you in 2 weeks, which I'm not certain you will. I think the Rams are going to get him.
I don't think he will either.
But if the Vikings go there, the Lions cannot run that same game plan. But in
because they'll be ready for
They'll be ready for it. But in that instant, it was beautiful. And I was a little surprised that the Vikings on the fly
they
couldn't come up with an adjustment to
and
that.
And isn't O'Connell an offensive guy?
He is a great offensive guy.
I mean,
guy.
He looked like he ate a bad piece of fish over there. He didn't know what to do.
And this is why, as much as Sam Darnold has been a great story, and I've been telling you this all year, every game there are a handful of moments where he shows you that he is Sam Darnold, and they've gotten away with it. And it's a great year, and he deserves to be the starting quarterback there. But these people that think that Sam Darnold has emerged as this MVP type guy. If you've watched them, the answer to that is no, he has not. He's been incredible from where he was, but he shows you those moments. And unfortunately, he picked the worst time to fully remove the Scooby-Doo mask and be like, I'm Sam Darnold all along. Well,
once Sam Darnold, always Sam Darnold.
Hurts.
This is the same thing I always say about Geno Smith.
Yeah.
As good as he is,
yeah,
he will remind you and that you, he is Geno Smith.
Yes.
And you are not winning a Super Bowl with him.
And he did.
And the Vikings are not winning a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold.
I can't disagree.
Period. There's no way.
I can't disagree.
That's what's crazy. Half the Lions are out, and I'll take them to win the Super Bowl over the stupid Vikings.
That does say something.
And again, I'm scorned here. I'm a little hot about that one.
I get it.
I was not happy about that one. At any rate, Lions, the number one seed in the NFC, will set you up for the playoff schedule coming up next in our NFL playoff penguin waddle on the Fan. All right, stopwatch, 4:15. Up next will be our NFL playoff penguin waddle. We'll tell you who's all playing in the playoffs. But since we got a short segue here,
playoffs.
I have a couple Vikings-Lions leftovers. One is, why, and they referred to it a little bit on the broadcast, because Sam Darnold could have been called for this no less than five times. Mm-hmm. Why do they not want to call delay of game?
It's really frustrating. So basically the NFL, they've decided that the way the game has gone and audibles and everything, that most teams now are getting down to the wire. And because it's such an offensive-minded game and those penalties are drive killers, they've basically said it's a spirit of the law thing that we're trying to give teams the benefit of the doubt. And as long as it's not egregious. So basically what they're doing now is the back judge is in charge of calling it. He looks at the clock. And once he sees double zero, then he looks down. And as long as the center, after he sees it zero, looks back, as long as he is starting the motion, they will give you the benefit of the doubt. It's the same way they do a lot now with like Lane Johnson and some of the tackles. They're jumping offsides on almost every play. But I think, again, it's more of the NFL saying we're trying to incentivize offense. And so we've kind of gone to a letter of the law, spirit of the law sort of thing. And it drives me bananas. I don't know why when it hits double zero, it's not a penalty.
Yeah.
It's double zero. The ball hasn't moved. Everyone sees it, but we just kind of look the other way at it.
Yeah, I think it's weird that they do that.
They don't want to bog down the game, and they're trying to give the offense the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. Well, save the Vikings several times last night.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Because Darnold couldn't get the damn snap off in time.
Start watching some of the tackles. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And some
I've
are,
seen that a lot.
Some are worse than others, but Lane Johnson literally jumps off sides 20 times a game.
The other one is
makes no sense to me.
The safety for the Lions, Brian Branch,
who's amazing.
Have you seen that he's got his a mouthpiece mm-hmm. on the top of his helmet?
Yeah, you see that sometimes.
I have never seen that.
You've never seen it?
No.
Pay attention.
When did mouth guards, I guess this year, but the whole mouth guards as like hood ornaments for your helmet is just unbelievable to me.
They just don't think about it. So I never wore a mouthpiece when I played.
Well, he does think about it. I had to go read up about it.
So this is something he does on purpose?
Yeah, he does it on purpose. He said that it started in high school where his mouthpiece, he would just leave it dangling. He wouldn't put it in. And then he would go about his business on a play and it would fall off and he hated that.
Yes.
So he would just stick it on his helmet, stick it into one of the holes in his helmet and just leave it there. That way it wouldn't fall off. Mm. Well, then it kind of became a good luck thing.
Okay.
So he now does that. He says he doesn't wear a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
So he just puts it on there as good luck. He just leaves it there.
Yeah.
But it's weird looking.
I never wore a mouthpiece either, but and I don't think the NFL requires you to have them, but in high school and college, they did require you. So I too did not want it to dangle. I never had a strap. I wore a little thin one and then cut the string on it. And I would tuck it into between my helmet and the top of my face mask. And then if an official ever said something to you
slip it in.
They'd be like, hey, put your mouthpiece in. You could grab it, put it in, and then you left it in for a play or two, and then you shove it back in, and no one really said anything after that. So,
well, I just think it's weird that they allow him. You know how yeah.
and they're so fickle
they are.
About yeah
yeah.
They're so, like the
they
whole,
allow him to do that.
Your I know socks have to be a certain height and all yeah. that, but you can just wander around with these
weird,
off-colored rubber things hanging.
Now that
you.
You've seen it, and his is bright green, so yeah. you can really see it. But now, as you watch games, watch
there's a bunch of those.
Yeah, you'll see a half a dozen guys a game that have them back there, and I always assumed it was more of just. Kind of like me, and that you just kind of forget about it. You tuck it in, and then it doesn't go in. I didn't know it was a good luck thing, but yeah, guys have been doing that. Guys let them dangle. Guys tuck them into face masks.
Well, now there are guys that are, like, especially in college, that are wearing two or three dangling ones from their face mask. Yeah. Like they'll do one that matches the uniform and one that is the other team's color. And I'm like,
my daughter once asked me why we were watching. I don't remember if it was college in the NFL. She asked me about like wristbands or something, or maybe it was the eye black. And I said, everything that a football player is wearing is because he thinks it looks cool, and there's really no other reason. This is true almost for wristbands, for spandex, for neck guards, for mouthpiece, whatever. Eye black, none of it makes any difference. You're wearing it because you think it looks super badass, and if it looks badass, it's the Jerry Rice thing. Look cool, feel cool, play cool, you know, all those sorts of things.
Well, it looks kind of stupid.
Agreed.
But whatever.
Yeah.
That's his bit. All right. Well, let's get to the bracket. It is out. It is set.
It is.
The playoffs. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Playoffs?
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.